Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With Fuel Cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Pony Stampede podcast. This week was a little crazy with the bye week and then the short week and then traveling. So I am actually recording this on my drive from the Raleigh-Durham Airport to Greenville here on game day, just to give some updates from the bye week coming into tonight's game. I thought offensive coordinator Casey Woods made an interesting point about the bye week. Yes, it is five games into a 12-game regular season, but you add in fall camp and the couple weeks between fall camp and the start of the season, and it's been a while, and it's probably about time that they needed the break. It's not really a full bye in the sense that it wasn't a full two-week situation with the Thursday night game. But I think that's okay. Certainly we saw last year the bye week disappeared because of the change in schedule of the UCF game because of the hurricane that hit Florida in that Orlando area. So this is still more than they got a year ago. And interesting, you know, they kind of worked on themselves a little bit, gave some time off, and then got right into their normal game prep. They were just able to do that, set the week differently because of the bye week and not having a game on Saturday, you know, allowed them to really kind of start that game prep and really treat Saturday, Sunday, and Monday kind of like Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of a normal game week, which I think is nice. For them to be able to do that and kind of then shift their focus to this ECU game. You know, coming off the Charlotte game, which was a weird game, offense didn't have a ton of snaps. Part of that was because, you know, the second drive for them was a short drive following the botch snapped on the punt attempt. Then you also have the one play 95-yard drive on the Jalen Knighton run. So the passing numbers, again, don't look great. Another point brought up by Coach Woods is if you don't have that Keyshawn Smith touchdown called back for an eligible receiver downfield, you know, it is a 200-yard passing game. It's another passing touchdown. It's another touchdown on the board. And some of those numbers aren't as maybe skewed or seen as a negative, kind of like they were as it stood. Overall, a good win, you know, and was something I didn't think about really until after the fact. And, you know, my game prediction was them winning by more than what they won by. But it was also kind of crazy that the spread was 22 points when Charlotte went to Maryland and Florida and lost by fewer than 22 points in those games. So I think that shows what the Charlotte defense can look like. Not a great offense. Not great that SMU gave up those long double-digit play, 70-plus yard touchdown drives in the second half. At the same time, when you're in that situation, when you are up by that much, if you're going to give up two touchdowns, you force them to take up 13 minutes. I mean, that's almost half of the second half. and that's not sustainable for a comeback attempt. You know, obviously, Coach Simon certainly talked about not wanting to give up those kind of rushing yards, not wanting those drives to continue with those third and fourth down conversions they were able to get. But, you know, my point is, at the end of the day, you make them earn it, you make them take that much time off the clock, you know, it's not going to result in a comeback because they aren't hitting big plays, they aren't scoring quickly. And then obviously SMU gets a late fourth down conversion of their own to RJ Maryland to put that game away. Obviously it was good to see Jalen Knighton have a breakaway play. Obviously it was good to see the defense get another turnover finally. And hopefully those are things that carry over into this final stretch, as they get into the meat of conference play after having an opener and then the bye week. And this week is such an interesting game. You've got East Carolina that has not had a good start to the season. Obviously, they played Michigan to open. That's not going to favor anybody's record or statistics. A couple tough other G5 games with App State and Marshall that were losses. Their loss to Rice was kind of just an ugly football game. I'm not sure Rice is as good as what some of their early season stuff had showed. They didn't look like a good football team that day, and they still beat ECU. East Carolina is a different team at home. I know some SMU fans are tired of hearing about it, but they are known to have a quality home field advantage, really good fan involvement. Interesting to hear from Steven of Hoist the Colors, the 24/7 site for East Carolina, talk about Thursday night being interesting because you might not get the fans that travel in from other parts of North Carolina, you know, that make the trip from Raleigh or other things because it's a Thursday night game, but that the student section should be there in full force. For this one, it's their blackout. They've got some honestly really good looking all black uniforms and black helmets that they will be going with. And I think you do have to throw the record out the door for a game like this. You know, that was asked of Coach Lashley if there's anything that they have to do as a team to not think about it. His response was that, you know, they certainly didn't talk about ECU's record at all. They just put on the film and kind of showed what this team can be capable of doing if you're not playing at a very high level. He also brought up that 2000 game where SMU went in. I don't think they were ranked, but had a really good record that year. It was a Shane Bichel quarterback team. East Carolina was maybe 2-6 at the time, and East Carolina led 45-7 at halftime and rolled to that win. So it's certainly not something. Well, and Coach Lashley also said that this team has not done anything to warrant overlooking people and saying we can just show up and win. That they're not at that point yet, that they have to go into every game with the mindset that they have to play their best football in order to win the game. I will talk a little bit more about the matchup. Let's take a quick break. Again, this is the Pony Stampede Podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And welcome back to the Pony Stampede Podcast. We are in a Thursday night game day in North Carolina. I am coming to you from the road between Raleigh, Durham Airport, and Greenville. It's about a little less than a two-hour drive total. And talking about a big matchup for the Mustangs. You know, this was a game coming into the season that I think you said if there are any roadblocks to an undefeated conference season, East Carolina could be one of them. I'm not sure they're as good as maybe was thought they could be coming into the season. Obviously, you know, they graduated finally a quarterback that had been around for a while in Holt Naylor's, had a lot of success, was a big-time playmaker for them. But they also lost a 1,000-yard rusher and 2,000-yard receivers. Now, part of their success was because of the quarterback. The run game was able to have success because the passing game was good. And when you have a high-level, veteran, experienced quarterback, you're going to get things like multiple 1,000-yard receivers. You know, they've got a couple quarterbacks that they've used. Garcia started the first two games of the season. Flynn has started the last three. Neither of them have particularly good numbers. Garcia is a little bit of the Preston Stone mold, is a very high rated recruit for them. I don't think number one, but maybe number two or three all time. Sat behind Ehlers, I believe started one game last year when he was hurt. Again, a lot like Preston Stone, but has just really struggled early in the season. Again, one of those starts is against Michigan. SMU played up there a few years ago, so obviously they're the number two team in the country. They're a favorite to end Georgia's back-to-back streak and quest for a three-peat. So, you know, you can kind of throw that one away, but also didn't have much success in their week two game. Flynn hasn't had a ton of success either. I would expect both of them have played in all five games, so I would expect to see both of them at some point. Coach Simons talked about it being different than Charlotte. When Charlotte was, you knew Charlotte was going to use two quarterbacks. They were two quarterbacks with very different styles. You had a very dangerous dual threat, could run the ball, wanted to force him to throw, and then a guy who was more of a true pocket passer. This, you have to think about the two different quarterbacks, but they still run the same offense through those two quarterbacks. That's been a struggle. Their run game hasn't been what they would like it to be. They are kind of a run-first style of team that got changed a little bit when they had a quarterback like Ehlers to really kind of drive things through the passing game, but that's what they want to be. That hasn't really gotten going, and the pass game just hasn't been there offensively. I think this is a chance for the SMU defense to take that next step as a unit. I think there are going to be turnover opportunities. I think there are going to be a lot of opportunities for some three and outs, for some field position game, for a lot of things for this defense to look good. But they've got to play up to that level. They have to work on some third and fourth down defense that has been a bit of an issue this season. They have to always be working on their tackling, as you know, some of those bad habits and bad form and everything has kind of snuck back in at time to time during this season. Overall, it's been a lot better than it was last year, but it can still kind of go to that next level. Will be really interesting to see what this defensive line can do against a somewhat inexperienced ECU offensive line. Kind of hopefully push it around a little bit, kind of have their way and kind of push the pocket around, break the pocket down, and eliminate some running lanes. Offensively, I think this is the week for the offense to take a next step. ECU has a really good defense. That's one thing. Even though they're struggling, their defense has been strong. They have a bunch of takeaways. They get into the backfield, and it's a lot of different guys that do it. But with the bye week, I think you sit down and you try and figure out what Preston is comfortable doing, what he's been good at doing, and get him doing those things. Part of that, I think, is you've got to make the wide receiver rotation smaller. I think as good as some depth and some versatility and guys being fresh and staying healthy and all of that stuff is, I really think you've got to figure out who your top guys are and get them in a really good rhythm with Preston. Rashi is obviously a insanely talented guy, but he was a receiver that whenever SMU needed anything last season, whatever it was, you could call on Rashi to do it. No receiver has stepped up to do that. I think there was hope that it was going to be Jordan Curley. Haven't really seen enough from him outside of the Prairie View A&M game to really show that to me. I know there's been a lot of talk about them wanting to see Jordan Hudson have a better grasp of the playbook, but he's a guy that can be in that Rasheed mold of just ask him to do something and get the ball to him and let him do it. Whether they spent the bye week with him getting the full playbook down, with him getting a handful of plays down that you know when he's in the game, that's what you can run. He's just too talented of a receiver to not have in there more often and to not ask more of, because he can be that difference-making kind of guy. I'd like to see Keyshawn Smith get some more reps out there. It seems like whenever he's gotten an opportunity and has gotten the ball in his hands, he has made a play with it. His touchdown earlier this season, and then, you know, the lineman downfield had absolutely nothing to do with the play he made on the touchdown against Charlotte, where perfect back shoulder pass made his got past his defender, made another defender miss on his way into the end zone. That was really kind of what we saw in fall camp of this offense. Preston kind of stuck his foot in the ground, threw a great back shoulder pass, and then a really talented receiver made the catch, made a couple moves, and got a big play out of it. I think you've got to figure out the guys that can do that. We haven't seen a ton of Mucci Dixon. He's a guy who it seemed in fall camp was always making plays. And I would like to see him get that chance in a game situation. So if you've got to maybe shorten it and just say to the guys who have been getting some equal reps who might not, hey, sorry, we've got to see if these guys, if this makes a difference. If it doesn't, we'll put you back in and rotate somebody else out. But I really think the biggest thing with this passing game is you've got to get Preston, call plays that Preston can run and Preston is comfortable with, and with routes that he feels like he can get the ball to, and then you've got to get receivers that he feels comfortable with that are in a rhythm. Preston said all the right things. It doesn't matter who's out there. All of them are good. I believe that. But I do think that you do find a level of chemistry with guys that you work more and more with. And it's doing a disservice to the offense and to Preston to not give him an opportunity to find that rhythm and find those guys that he can get in a rhythm with. Because I think that's when you might see this offense and especially this pass game really take off, if there are three or four guys that he just is able to get in a rhythm with, who are also able to get in a rhythm on the field, making regular plays. It's great to have eight guys catch a pass in a game, but I think in order to see some real things come out of the pass game, guys have to catch more than three balls a game. And when your leading receivers are only getting three or four receptions a game, that's just not going to happen. I'd like to see RJ Maryland get back involved in the pass game more. I feel like he had a nice start, and then whether it's him or whether it's the play calling, that has kind of dropped off a little bit. I think it'll be interesting to see. This might be the first game all season that all three of the top running backs in Kamar Wheaton, LJ Johnson, and Jalen Knighton are all available. Obviously, Kamar was suspended week one. He did not play week two, so that was just Jalen and LJ. Then you had Jalen and Velton, who were suspended for week three, and then that was when LJ got hurt, so that was pretty much all Kamar with a little bit of Tyler Levine. Then last week, you still both... Last week against Charlotte and the TCU game, LJ was out against TCU. It was really Kamar getting most of the carries. And then this last week you have Kamar get hurt pregame before Charlotte, so it's really just Jalen with a little bit of Velton Gardner and Tyler Levine in there. Will be interesting to see if finally all three running backs are available, how the carries are distributed, how they use those three, with then also likely getting Tyler involved in some way, shape, or form with it. I think you have seen better things from the run game. I think really with the exception, though, of the Knighton 95-yard run, those explosive plays still aren't there yet. And that might be something that comes from all three being available. We'll just have to wait and see. Would be nice to see them run the ball well, would be nice to see the pass game find its rhythm, would be nice to see the defense kind of dominate a game, a bunch of sacks, maybe a turnover, just keeping ECU out of the end zone. You know, I don't know. I think SMU has to start this game well. I think the worst thing you can do in a road game in general, but especially a road game that's kind of known for being a tough place to play, is let the home team, especially an underdog home team, gain early momentum and really get the fan base and crowd involved early. I think you'd like to see another situation like the Charlotte game, take the first drive, score a touchdown, get a stop, score a touchdown, and kind of before you know it, it's a two-score game, kind of keep it at a two-score game from there on out and kind of take the wind out of their sails. Sorry for the pirate pun there early on, and just not let them ever really feel like they're in a game. Because, again, I think especially a team that has been struggling, that has not been winning football games, giving them hope can sometimes be the most dangerous thing you can do. So take away some of that hope early. Get some turnovers, get some three and outs. Offense, put points on the board, keep drives going. Finish drives in the end zone instead of settling for field goals. This is the first part of an interesting stretch as you go tonight in East Carolina, next Friday at Temple, and then home for homecoming next Saturday back in Dallas. It's just this only one Saturday game in the calendar month of October. It's a weird stretch, but it's a stretch that I think SMU can have a ton of success in, and can take that into November and that final stretch of the season, and hopefully December with a conference championship game appearance. Again, kickoff tonight is 6:30 p.m. Central Time from Greenville, North Carolina. The 1-4, 0-1 in conference Pirates host the 3-2, 1-0 in conference SMU Mustangs. Have a couple good things on the website for you. Have a nice behind enemy lines that gets some insight into ECU. Obviously have the game breakdown, series history, and all of that for you. Have some thoughts on finishing going into this one, and hopefully I have some time to talk to write a little bit about this offense getting going with our conversation with Preston from earlier this week. Again, I'll be there. I will have your information from the stadium in Greenville, starting pregame with the live chat all the way through. So make sure to join us as we talk about the game as it happens. And then we'll talk a little bit about the result afterwards as well. Keep on subscribing to PonyStampede.com. Keep on subscribing and get your notifications and automatic downloads for the Pony Stampede podcast, and we will keep you up to date with all things SMU Mustangs during this football season. Basketball season is around the corner. Recruiting never stops. The move to the ACC, it gets closer and closer. A lot of things going on, a lot of excitement around the hilltop, and Pony Stampede is with you every step of the way. Until next time, pony up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.